Sup, dude? Feel me? I just let my body sway to the side. It's all good, cause the girls know that I be fly. And I be on one, acting like a fool. If y'all wanna join in, y'all could do it too. Feel me? Kinda like a zombie. This is shit right here, yeah, that's on me. Y'all ain't gotta focus. Put a curve in your back, scoliosis. Changing the game like Nintendo. Then you let your limbs go. Lean back like you doing limbo. Hang down from your neck like a chain. Look at Betty, her arms look like spaghetti. Feel me? They say I move kinda lifeless, but I don't care, cause I know you wanna try this. And I be at the party all day. So clean, can you Bernie lean? 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 I can Bernie lean. I can Bernie lean. I can Bernie lean. Watch me Bernie lean. Can you
Bernie? What is up, everybody? Welcome to the third. Yes, third. I gotta think about that for a second. The third podcast today for the Bay Area Sports Talk Show. It is finally, today is the day that all baseball fan lovers have been waiting for. It is officially spring training. Pitcher to catcher reported today, and some of the team reported today too to get some workout in before full team squads kick in, I think, Saturday. But, you know, baseball is here, and I figured, me being the baseball lover I am, I honestly love baseball more than any other sports that I have watched and throughout my whole life. Baseball has been a big part of my life. And I figured, you know, why don't we just have a whole show today about just baseball, just talking about the San Francisco Giants and the Oakland A's, since both teams had a magical season. Why not just talk about both teams, you know? Baseball is here. And I figured this is sort of the subject that would be best for a whole show, because I could go on and on and on and on and on about baseball than hockey or football or basketball. But I know today I'm doing this on Monday. I'm doing this on Monday at 4 o'clock right now. Sharks are about to play. And I promised I was gonna do this, publish this on Monday, but I didn't have the chance, because, like I mentioned to you guys on my first show, I like to do these recordings with no one here, if it's all just pitch black and quiet, as you can hear in the background. And I couldn't get no free time until around 4 o'clock, but almost around before I leave my class. So I had to film this, record this, and then I'm going to publish it on Tuesday. So when you guys are hearing it, it's technically Tuesday. And I think I will not be doing a show Tuesday because you guys will be listening to this. And then Wednesday, I'll be back on full swing and doing recaps and previews. Because I believe by then I could do a Sharks recap of the game today, Monday, and a Warriors recap of the game tonight, which will be Tuesday. So, you know, besides all that, let's get into some baseball. I said I was going to do 50-50 on both teams. I'm not going to go biased and go talk about only the Oakland A's. So, however long it takes me to do the Giants, that's how long it's going to take me to do the A's. I go on from that and saying that. So, if you're a Giants fan, stick in. We're about to talk about the Giants first. If you're an A's fan, you probably want to skip till, I don't know, 15 more minutes until this. I'll probably tell everyone when to skip in, but let's go into the Giants. So usually, I was going through both teams off season, and it was very different from the A's off season and the Giants off season. The A's off season, we had a couple trades, we signed some free agents, we had to let some people go. The Giants, on the other hand, they signed everyone back, they got all their key players from arbitration. And they only had to let one player go who actually might come back. So it was weird. I was going through it. I'm like, there was no key losses. Everything was the same. But let's go through it. San Francisco Giants won their second World Series in 3 years, which is good, I guess. No, it was good. It was good to watch. Giants fans are obviously happy about that. And the key thing was going into offseason is the key free agents were Marco Scudero and Angel Pagan. Do you sign them back? And there was hints and reports that Angel Pagan was going to go to a different team, either sign somewhere else. And there was also, but then there was also reports saying Marco Scudero has, even though the Dodgers offered him so much money, he wants to stay, he wanted to end his career in the Bay Area. So, I mean, that was a good, meaningful gesture. And before any of all that started, and it starts off with Outfeld signs his arbitration with the San Francisco Giants. So he's there for, I think, another year, maybe 2 years. I have to check on that. Actually, I could probably check on it right now. But, damn. But, yeah, they sign him. Let's see, Jeremy Outfeld. Let's see. I think he's there for one more year, maybe two. But then earlier, like a week later, your Brian Wilson elects free agency, and everyone, all the Giants fans are like, they're freaking out. They don't want to see Brian Wilson go. And I could totally agree with what you guys are saying, because this guy has been your closer for a long time. He actually is probably more of the face of the franchise before Tim Lincecum and before Buster Posey. And when you think San Francisco Giants, the one thing that pops in your head is that beard. And I know what you guys are saying, that you guys don't want him to go. But you have to look at it this way. The guy has two Tommy John surgeries, and he's not even going to he's not even going to pitch in 2013. He's probably not, because you're coming off Tommy John surgery. You say he's supposed to be back by August, but then likelihood you're getting him for 1 year, for 1 month in 2013, and that's September, because August he's going to be doing some rehab. So really, you're spending a lot of cash for a guy that's going to pitch for you for 1 month. And honestly, I would rather use that cash on some free agents, maybe some of your guys' players that you're trying to keep on a team. That's how I look at it. And I say, Brian Wilson, you could go take your talent somewhere else, because the Giants proved that they don't need Brian Wilson as a closer anymore. They don't even need him on the team, because Sergio Romo last year stepped up, and also Santiago Casilla, and also to a little bit of Outfeld. They stepped in and did a good part of the closer job, and especially in the postseason when Sergio Romo stepped up. He was fantastic when he came onto the closer position, and I think it showed everyone that, yeah, Brian Wilson was a good team, but I think it's time to move on to someone more younger and not as injury prone. And I don't know if Romo can do the same stuff as he did last year, even though he did it in half of the season as a closer mostly. But can he do it as a full-time closer? I don't know. That is the problem. But it would be a very good, interesting thing to see coming on to the future. But I think Sergio Romo could do it. I think the Giants not signing Brian Wilson to a contract is actually a smart move, even though there's reports saying Brian Wilson might come back to San Francisco. There's also reports saying he might sign with the Mets. Who knows? But I think the Giants did a good part of not signing Brian Wilson. And then during the winter meetings, Marco Scudero signs with the Giants, and then also Angel Pagan signs with the San Francisco Giants. So you guys have your key players, along with signing with arbitration Hunter Pence and Buster Posey. So that's all good. All good news. And then also too, about 2 weeks later, you sign your old center fielder for the 2010 championship team, Andres Torres, which is also, it just seems like they're adding more depth into the team, which is something they need. They didn't have that much of depth in 2012 in the outfield. I mean, they had, I don't think they had anyone really after Melky Cabrera got taken out, because Blanco was your backup to Melky Cabrera, but then when Melky got kicked out, Blanco stepped up as a left field primary player. But now you're adding more depth. You didn't get to keep one of your star players, two key star players in the postseason, including Marco Scudero, who stepped up and did something that I didn't even think he could do at his age. He didn't do it with the A's. He did somewhat with the A's, but wasn't as magical and good as he did with the Giants. And I think that was a good signing from the Giants. And then the main thing was that they kept the team together. It's the same team. It's not a different team like, you know, some people do, the chemistry is still there. And that's the main thing about going from the 2012 to the 2013 season is you want, if you, after you just won a championship, you want to keep the team together. Because if you give it a certain people here and there and here and there, then you just lose all the chemistry. The team isn't really the same. Yeah, you still have these key players and everything. But think if Marco Scudero took the offer from the Dodgers and Angel Vaughn goes somewhere else, then you're sort of sitting there thinking, well, who do you get to take at second base? Who do you get to take at in the outfield and center field? Torres, yeah, he's good, but he's not really that capable of a starter compared to Angel Pagan. I would take Angel Pagan more than anyone right now in the outfield. Maybe I would take Michael Bourne, but not for the money and the years that he's asking for. But, you know, it's, you know, I think them signing Pagan, Scudero, and Torres for and as more depth is reasonable. And I remember I did this on my website that I haven't really updated recently, is I did a starting roster, 25-man roster. Well, not really 25. I just did the field positions. I didn't really get into the pitching. I didn't really get to the bench. I didn't really get to the bullpen. But guess what? Yay! I get to do that right now. I might as well. I might as well, since I wrote everything down on this note paper. But, you know, I'm going to go down through the roster and who I think should be starting. I know some of you might disagree with me. I know, especially when I get to the Oakland A's part, you guys are going to be chewing my head off, because that's when I really thought about. And I know once I get to the rotation, certain people are going to kill me for what I'm going to say about for the Giants. But, you know, let's just get into it. At catcher, obviously you have Buster Posey starting. But at first base, I have Brandon Belt. Second base, Marco Scudero. Shortstop is obviously going to be Brandon Crawford. And third base is going to be Pablo Sandoval. That's your usual. That's the same. That's nothing new. It's whatever. And left field, I have Blanco starting, because he has more experience in left field than who I have as a backup to him. Wait till I get to there. Angel Pagan is a center fielder, and Hunter Pence is your right fielder. Everything is the same like the 2012 season. That is your main roster. That's your starting, that's your opening day roster. Bench-wise, I have Hector Sanchez as your backup catcher. Most reasonable. He came up pretty good in 2012 season. Your backup for first base is going to be Brett Pill. Yeah, but supposedly he could come here and there to play first base. But I think Brett Pill could come in as a good option, too. That's just me. He seems more reasonable than getting rid of him and add another person to the bullpen, because your bullpen's already stacked since you guys don't have that DH slot. So it gives you one more player to add. Unlike the A's, when you have such a little bullpen or little of a bench because you have that DH spot. So, in the outfield, I have Andres Torres as your backup center field to Angel Pagan, because, you know, you signed him, you might as well use him. I mean, you're not going to sign him and be like, you can't be like, well, we signed him, so no one else can have him, so Andres Torres, go to AAA. No, you don't want that. You signed him for a reason. He knows how AT&T Park is, he knows the fans well, and he knows the National League a little bit more better than 2010, because also he didn't go from AL team, he went to the Mets. So he's good. But then here's where people are probably going to chew on me and say, you're wrong, Cody. You should stay there. This guy should stay in the minors for maybe two more months, three more months at least. I say in opening day, your backup outfielder to Gregorio Blanco is Gary Brown. He has been superb in the minor leagues. I've seen him play in San Jose when he went against the Stockton Ports, and seen him play in Fresno against the River Cats. The guy is literally the best prospect that the Giants have to date. I remember when Brandon Belt got called up in 2011, and they were comparing him to the next Buster Posey, but he didn't really come out. I'm saying right now that Gary Brown has the capability of when he gets called up and he's a starter for the San Francisco Giants, he is going to have that Buster Posey mentality. And don't be shocked. I'm putting this out there. It's a little bit deep. I haven't even seen him play in the majors, or he hasn't even taken a pitch against a major league pitcher. But I'm saying this right now. Gary Brown is going to be a Rookie of the Year whenever he gets called up. Maybe it's going to be this year. He's a 2013 Rookie of the Year in NL. Maybe it'll be next year. But I think Gary Brown has the capability of being a star outfielder for the San Francisco Giants. And I think I'm just going off the numbers right now. It's superb. Let me pull them up for you. Let's see. Hold on. Go on Google. Gary Brown. Because he is... I almost put Tommy Joseph in there last year. Last year, I thought getting traded Tommy Joseph for 100 pence was okay, but I think that Tommy Joseph could be a backup catcher, a good backup catcher. But then you might as well trade him while you can, because Buster Posey is your franchise player, just like maybe Tim Lincecum, most likely a Pablo Sandoval, you know, and most likely with Gary Brown, in my opinion. But you might as well trade him now while you still have that franchise player feel. And, you know, I think, come on, Google. I just think Gary Brown is going to be the future for the Giants in outfield. I can't stress that enough. I won't stress it enough until it actually happens when he gets that call and he is just going nuts in the outfield. And I think that when he does get called up, I will be sitting there, and he does win an MVP, not MVP, but when he does win Rookie of the Year, I'll be sitting there laughing at you guys saying, I told you so. Rotation-wise, I have Matt Cain is your opening day starter against the Dodgers in April. And then second would be Bumgarner, going righty-lefty. Then I'm going with Vogelsong as my third starter. Now, here is where people are going to chew me up and say, Cody, how could you say this? It should be the other way around. I have Barry Zito as your number four starter in the rotation, sending down Tim Lincecum to number five. Yeah, people think that Tim Lincecum is going to be, he has a new haircut, he's going to pitch better. I'm not going to believe that he's going to pitch better until I see it in the first 2 months. If he has that capability of the first 2 years when he was with the Giants where he won two Cy Youngs, then okay, I'll move Lincecum to maybe the third spot, maybe to where Cain is at and move everyone down. But for now, I know every year Tim Lincecum has been the opening day starter, not this year. I have Tim Lincecum being the fifth starter, but if you look at it, you're going righty-lefty, righty-lefty, righty-righty-lefty, and you're going from again. And I think it's a good way to set it up. And I think Lincecum last year had a bit of a struggle. If you put him at the five spot, he doesn't have that much pressure anymore. He doesn't have that pressure to succeed. If you put him in the first spot again, you know, just coming off a shaky year and everyone, all the media is giving him crap that the fact that he didn't perform well in 2012. But if he could pitch the way he did in the postseason when he was in the bullpen, and that's when he had no pressure on him. No one was paying attention to him. He was in the rotation. That's basically the fifth spot. And if you put him there in the fifth spot, I bet you he'll perform the way he did in the postseason. In the postseason, it was a different, totally different Tim Lincecum than we saw in the 2012 season. And I know people are looking at me saying, why it still looks retarded. No one likes Zito. Zito wants an extension with the Giants. Sooner or later, before he gets really at the age where he's like Jamie Moyer's age, and you just give him a pat on the back, say, yeah, we'll sign you for one more year. No. But for right now, as he is the age right now, and how good season he did have last year than all the other seasons he had with the Giants, I think you keep Zito at that fourth spot, because he's not better than Madison Bumgarner, but he is good enough to be at the fourth spot and not the third or the fifth. So as the season goes on, I think the rotation would change a little due to success and, you know, who you're batting against and everything. But I think right now I'm going Cain, Bumgarner, Vogelsong, Zito, and then Lincecum as your fifth starter. And the bullpen, I based it on basically not who was pitching anything, but who had the most experience and who actually I think could succeed in the major league level. Going off the easiest with Romo as your closer, I have Casilla being the setup man, and then Lopez, George Contos, Affel, Surkamp, and then I have Wendler in there too in the bullpen. So, oh, that's actually 24 people. I actually forgot to mention Joaquin Arias would be the backup infielder to Pablo Sandoval and Brandon Crawford. So that is my Giants 2013 preview. And actually, I'm going to put out my prediction of where the Giants will end up. I think with they have tough competition in NL West, not just with all teams, but just with one team, honestly. Because the Diamondbacks are gone without Justin Upton, in my opinion. The Rockies will just be the Rockies. And then you have the, who is it? Who am I missing? Giants, Dodgers, the Diamondbacks, Rockies. Who am I missing? There's a fifth team. I believe it's a fifth team. Is there? Hold on. Oh yeah. Well, now I'm at the Gary Brown. Never mind. NL West. Who is the fifth team? I wish this was radio, and then people, someone could tell me, or if I'm sitting here with someone, they could tell me. But what's the fifth team? Okay. Hold on. I don't know if it's a good idea to go on Wikipedia, but I guess who cares. National League West. Okay, you're not telling me. Arizona Padres. Ah. It's always the Padres. I forget. I knew it was another Southern California team, but I did not think it was the Padres.
Oh, God.
All right, so you have Diamondbacks are gone without Justin Upton. Rockies are just the Rockies. The Padres are obviously just the Padres because I can't remember who they were. But I think the toughest thing for the Giants is the Dodgers and how stacked their lineup is. And if all they look good on paper, but are they going to perform team chemistry-wise and team performance-wise? I think National League West champions are going to be the Los Angeles Dodgers by little. Just by little against the San Francisco Giants, and the San Francisco Giants go to the NL wildcard game. Again, two, I couldn't really tell you. But I think they go to the NL wildcard game, and it goes from there. But I think the Giants go to the NL wildcard, and the Dodgers are your NL West champion by just a slight bit. Just a slight bit. All right. Going to the Oakland Athletics now. So what time is this? This is, holy crap. 23 minutes. All right, so 23 minutes is when the A's will be on. I'll put that on Twitter. Okay, so let's go through their offseason. Obviously, you know, I'm gonna go through this like it's the top of my head because I'm a huge A's fan. But I'm just to make it fair. I'm looking on paper too. I'm not trying to be biased. So let's go with the offseason. First in the offseason, the A's make a trade with the junior athletics, the Arizona Diamondbacks, of course, with trading Cliff Pennington, shortstop, to Chris Young. For Chris Young, outfielder, pretty good center fielder, can cover the yard well, and he has a good bat. The thing was, trading Cliff Pennington and not knowing what Drew will do, it was more of, okay, what's going on? Because you don't have a shortstop or a second baseman now. And you're just sitting there wondering, okay, well, shortstop's going to be freaking Adam Gonzalez and second baseman's going to be Eric Sogard. You don't know what's going on. But then they signed all their arbitration players with Seth Smith, George Gutierrez, Brandon Moss, Derek Barton, and Jerry Blevin. So now you have a DH, a catcher, a first baseman, another first baseman, and a relief pitcher. And then moments later, the A's, so there was rumors that the A's were going looking for Stephen Drew. Drew was actually going to sign back with the A's, but he doesn't. He actually goes to the Boston Red Sox and goes to the Boston Red Sox with also free agent Johnny Gomes. But then the A's make news saying that they sign shortstop from Japan for 2 years, I believe, Nakajima. He was actually a good player. He has a friend. Has a friendly personality. I think he'll be a great addition to the A's. And you know, if he could perform the way he has in Japan, from seeing all the YouTube videos and everything, if he can play the same way as he did in Japan, he's gonna be a great addition. He's gonna have the same impact to the A's as Yoenis Cespedes did on his first year as a Oakland Athletic, and that was a great year. You know, first the opening day in Japan hits a home run, and then his first game in the Coliseum hits a home run. I think Nakajima's gonna have that kind of a performance, and I think at shortstop you're good with Nakajima there. But then everything was all dry during the winter. Winter meetings. I was about to say winter league. I was like, wait, no. The winter meetings, everything was dry with the A's. But then there's a three-team trade goes on, and the A's are part of it, along with the Seattle Mariners and the Washington Nationals. The A's give back A.J. Cole to the Nationals, who A.J. Cole was part of the deal with Brad Peacock and Derek Norris for Gio Gonzalez. And they also give away Blake Theron. Both minor leaguers, both might have a good future. I think A.J. Cole has a better chance of being a pitcher or a relief pitcher in Washington organization than the A's organization. Just of how bad of a year he did have in Stockton, it was a little shaky. But I think he could do some work in the Nationals, especially just coming back from them. That's when he had his good years. I think he could do that again. But then they get catcher John Jaso from the Seattle Mariners. Then that's leading us to who's getting cut. Are you cutting Derek Norris? Are you sending him to AAA and keeping George Gutierrez and John Jaso? Or are you getting rid of George Gutierrez or sending him to AAA and keeping Derek Norris and John Jaso? And then moments later we found out that they designate for assignment George Gutierrez, sent him all the way down to Kansas City. Yes, I said sending them down. You compare it from the A's to the Kansas City, you're basically sending them down. But he gets claimed off waivers by the Kansas City Royals, and then now you're sick. Now you have John Jaso and Derek Norris as your catcher. I'll go on from there, who I think should be starting, who's going to be the backup, whatever, who's platooning. I'll get on to that later. Then about a couple weeks ago, maybe a week ago, the trade happened with the Houston Astros, and Athletics were involved. They were looking at this shortstop for a very long time, and I think it was a good one. I put it on my website, said, you know, picking up this guy was a good fit for the organization. They get rid of Chris Carter, Brad Peacock, and Max Stassi. Brad Peacock and Max Stassi are both minor leaguers. For Jed Lurie, shortstop, and Francisco, who is also a minor league relief pitcher, but he's probably going to be in AAA at the start of the season. But picking up Jed Lurie was probably the transaction of the year, honestly, to my opinion, because now he's like a utility man. He's played mostly as shortstop, but he also played at second base for a little bit. He's played at third base for a little bit, and I think having him on a team is good. Because now you basically might have a second baseman now, and you know, it gave rid of Chris Carter. Yeah, it sucks. Yeah, he had a good year last year offensively, but defensively, he was okay. But then when you have Brandon Moss, who has good with the bat, and he's also working on his defense, and you have Derek Barton, who is really good on defense, but is on the slim of being cut because of his bat. I think getting rid of Chris Carter and helping the Astros for their DH problem, because they're now part of the AL West, is actually a good fit. And giving Brad Peacock to the Houston Astros, he's going to start for the Astros. He's going to be in that team, because now he didn't really have a chance with the rotation A's have and the bullpen A's have. He didn't really have a chance. He didn't have a chance, really, honestly, to make that team. But now, since he's getting the Astros, he has a chance. And if Max Stassi can stay healthy for 1 year, maybe 2 years, he's going to be the starting catcher sooner or later for the Houston Astros too, or maybe whatever team if he gets traded. But he was too injury-prone with Stockton. He's been there for 2 years, and he always ends up injured. And I think trading him now while his stock is high was a good idea. And you get Jed Lurie out of it and a minor league pitcher for it too. So the key additions for the A's in 2012 offseason was getting outfielder Chris Young, Nakajima, shortstop, Jed Lurie, who's going to be your second baseman, and also John Jaso as a catcher. But also your key losses, you also lost Johnny Gomes, who was a good dugout person, a good, like, team chemistry guy, along with Brandon Idge. But I still think Brandon Idge could come back to the team if someone gets injured. You can always sign him to like a 1-year contract, and then you know you have yourself a third baseman. He has his injuries last year, but he's a good team chemistry guy. He can hit the ball and has some good defense at third base. You lost also Brandon McCarthy, a good starting pitcher, great personality, along with his wife. They're both great. It was actually hard seeing them go because everyone was like, they didn't want him to go. It was more of those things that they wanted to stay, no matter how much it might cost it is. And then you lost Steven Drew, who was a good shortstop coming into the playoffs, and in the playoffs he stepped up big. And then you're also losing Chris Carter, first baseman. So now, that leads me to my 25-man roster preview. Now, this is where everyone will say, Cody, you are a dumbass for picking these certain players as your opening day starter. But you know what? I'm going with it. A catcher, I have, not John Jay, so I have Derek Norris as your starting catcher on opening day, along with Brandon Moss at first base, Jed Lurie at second base, Nakajima is at shortstop, and Josh Donaldson at third base. This is completely different from what I predicted on my website, because I said second base was going to be Grant Green. That's not going to happen, because now they have Jed Lurie. God damn it, because if you know me, I am a huge Grant Green fan. I've followed him since Stockton, practically, and you know, when I heard he got put onto the 40-man roster, I was excited. He's like, he actually has a chance to make the team. And with Jed Lurie getting picked up, I was like, whoop, there goes that. And I'm hoping somebody gets injured now. In the outfield, this is where, and the DH, this is where everything's going to go crazy. I have left field is Cespedes, and right field is Reddick. That stays the same. Center field, I have, I'm giving Coco 25 games the first season as a center fielder. But I think your main primary starter for the center field is going to be Chris Young. Because if you put Chris Young out there, you're not going to have people running from second and going and scoring when the ball is hit the center field. Because it's not like, oh, the ball's hit the Coco, just keep running. He's not going to throw it. He has a bad arm. But if the ball is hit the Chris Young, it's like, wait, hold up. This guy actually has a pretty good arm. And then you have Cespedes with a good arm in left field. You have Chris Young with a good arm in center field. And you have Reddick with an outstanding young arm in right field. So I think Chris Young is your starter in center field. But then also, too, you're not getting rid of Coco in a starting lineup. You're going to have him a DH, leadoff DH. And it sounds weird, but it's the best fit for him because he's known for sometimes his defense, but not for his arm. But he's also known for his bat, obviously, from the game 4 walk-off in the ALDS. But Coco is the best fit for the DH, and, you know, Seth Smith backing him up at DH, too. I think Seth Smith could be a good backup outfielder for left field when Cespedes is gone. Bench-wise, I have Derek Barron. I've been going back and forth with this, and I'm trying to figure out who do I put in the bench. But I think Derek Barron is your first baseman because you might need a backup. You're really going to need a backup for first base unless you can teach one of the other guys how to play first base. John Jaso is your backup catcher, and Seth Smith is your backup outfielder / DH. But I'm thinking, too, if Grant Green over the spring and sometime over the AAA learns how to play first base because he's such a utility man, he can play outfield, he can play third base, shortstop, second base. If you can learn how to play first base and do it good defensively, I think Derek Barron is going to be out of a job at first base, and we call up Grant Green and give him his shot. You know, everyone else had a shot. Michael Taylor's had a shot. You know, so many people have had their shot, but Grant Green hasn't gotten it. And I think this is the year you see Grant Green get called up into the Oakland A's as either a bench and embrace that role as a starter. Because I think he has the bat and offense to be a starter on a major league team. He just has to work on his defense. And his defense in the outfield was good. His defense at third and second were good. Shortstop, I still believe, still needs some work. And if he could work, if he could do some first base over spring training, he is good to go. My rotation, I stay with the whole, I do the whole lefty-righty-lefty-righty or righty-lefty-righty-lefty because it's the best way to do it, in my opinion. And I have, as your opening day starter against Felix Hernandez, obviously, would be Brett Anderson. I almost said Brandon because I kept on thinking of last year with Brandon McCarthy. But no, Brent Anderson is your opening day starter, along with your second one would be Jared Parker. And then third would be Tommy Malone. Fourth would be AJ Griffin. And fifth, I have this would just be like the first 2 weeks. I have Dan Straley as the fifth starter. Reason four is Bartolo Colon, who you signed a 1 year contract with, still has to serve 5 more games on his suspension. So you have Dan Straley pitch, and then when Bartolo Colon is ready to be a go and he's ready to he's off his suspension, then he gets called up. You send Dan Straley down to work on some stuff and see how Colon could do. And if Colon's doing shaky, whatever, his first 3 starts, send them back down or release them and then call up Dan Straley. Or maybe Sonny Gray. I think Sonny Gray is going to get called up when September call-ups come because he's pretty good. And in my bullpen, I have Balfour as your closer, obviously. I have Cook. It's back and forth of Cook and Doolittle on who's the setup man. It depends on what position, on what the situation. But I have Cook and Doolittle in there. Blackley, Blevins, Nishik, and Norberto, who is finally healthy. I think if you had Norberto on the A's last year in playoffs, the A's go to the ALCS and then go to the World Series. But, you know, we didn't have him. But I think Norberto is going to be on this team. And I don't think Chris Ristoff is going to be on the team at the start of the season. I don't think the new Japanese left-hander we got, Okajima, is going to be on the team at the start of the season. Because I think Blackley, Blevins, Norberto, and Doolittle are good left-handers as those we have right now. And if you want to add one more bullpen, you have to get rid of either Seth Smith, John Jaso, or Derek Barnum and send him down. But then you're risking yourself at the main position. Because if someone needs a day break, who do you going to have fill in for second base? Who do you going to have filled in for catchers? Who do you going to have filled in outfield or in first base? So I think the bullpen stays like that, bench stays like that, the starting roster stays like that, and the rotation is the way it is right now. I think that was 50-50. I'm hoping that's 50-50. If that wasn't 50-50, I tried to keep it even, but that's how I have it. And you know, I honestly can't wait. I'm going to a lot of A's games, including opening day and, you know, the gold glove ceremony along with the blanket. I have to get my ALDS blanket. Come on now. Or AOS champion blanket. Come on, it's gonna be cool. But you know, I'm also going to a few Giants games. When the Phillies come in town, I'm gonna also try to get some tickets for when the A's have either the exhibition or when they play in San Francisco in a regular season. You know, so you know, I'm a baseball fan. You know, people will give me crap saying how can you be an A's fan but go into a San Francisco Giants game. I honestly like watching both teams, but I am not sitting there in AT&T Park cheering for the Giants. I'm usually cheering for the other team, honestly. When last year I went to go see the Padres play and I cheered for the Padres. When last year I also saw the A's play, I cheered for the A's. So, I mean, I just like watching baseball in general, and I don't have a hate for a team yet to where I don't want to go to the ballpark and watch a game, because that's the whole part of being a baseball fan and having that baseball experience is going to other teams' parks and seeing how the atmosphere is and watching the game and enjoying the game, because you're not really a baseball fan. You're not willing living up to the life if you're saying, fuck you, San Francisco. Fuck you, LA. I'm not going anywhere. I'm staying here in Oakland watching all my games in Oakland. No, you're just an Oakland boy. You're just committed to your team, and there's no disrespect to that. I know some people who are like that, but then also I know some people who are huge baseball fans, and they love a team so much, but then also, too, they don't mind going to another area like San Diego or going to Arizona to watch a Diamondbacks game, or going to San Francisco, or a Dodger game, or an Angel game, you know, whatever it may be. You know, it's just, they're baseball fans, and you can't hate them for that. It's just what they love. I know I did that I would do that with hockey, and I did that a little bit when I was a little kid. I was a huge Sharks fan, But then also, too, you know, whenever I was in Anaheim going to Disneyland, you know, me and my family, we would always occasionally go watch a game at the pond, even if the Sharks weren't playing the Ducks, because my dad just really liked hockey. And, you know, I liked hockey, too. And, you know, I had, I didn't really know much back then, but I knew enough to know, saying, I don't care if I'm a Sharks fan, I'm going to go watch a Ducks game at the pond because I don't hate them that much. So when you hear me talk about the Giants and you know I'm an A's fan, don't just call me a bandwagoner and think I'm taking their side. I still don't like the Giants that much because I'm an A's fan. It's a rivalry. But I am willing to talk about the Giants and everything from what I've watched and from my opinion because I'm a baseball fan. I like watching baseball. And here and there, I'll watch a Giants game. And mostly if the A's are playing and the Giants are playing, I'm going to watch an A's game. But, you know, when there's a commercial break, I would flip it to the Giants game to see what's going on. So, I'm just a baseball fan. You know, tell me what you want and everything, but that's how I see it. I will always go to A's games till the day I die. But I will always search and go to different ballparks and watch other teams play, no matter how much I might hate the team, including the Giants in the future, including the Yankees, including the Red Sox, and including the Dodgers. I don't care how much I would hate the team. It always means something to me if I'm going to another ballpark and watching a game. So besides that, the closer show up today. It went on pretty lengthy. I apologize for that, but you know, I told you, baseball is something I could talk about forever. And I could talk until I pass out with no oxygen in my lungs because that's how passionate I am for the sport. And I'm so glad baseball is back, and the talking about baseball and spring training and everything, soon enough games will be on TV, and an OP season is back, and I just can't wait. I love baseball so much, and I hope you guys love baseball too just as much as me if you're listening to this podcast. So for right now, I am going to sign off, and I'll be seeing you guys on, you guys will be listening to, so I'll be seeing you guys, talking to you guys Wednesday. Back to normal Bay Area sports on what's going on. But for now, thank you guys for listening, and I'll see you guys soon.